Roger Mulligan stopped in front of the house and stared up at its gabled windows. The wrought iron gate and fence suited the place, but looked completely at odds with the trust fund baby gentrification on a street paved with silver spoons. He checked the address on his phone against the number on the house, 4185. They matched, and his GPS agreed, so he pushed through the gate, mildly amused that it didn't squeak like the lid of some mummy's coffin. A fragrant herb grew between the stones of the paved walk, the scent wafting around him as he walked. The grounds seemed well-kept, lawn manicured. Looking up at the house, he didn't see so much as a loose shingle or flake of paint on the ornate, if somewhat monochrome, gray facade. The place gave off an old money vibe. Very old. He reached for the doorbell and pushed it. Nothing happened. He looked again and realized his mistake. He pulled it. When he let go, he heard a faint tinkling, like an old-time shopkeeper's bell, from inside. He revised his estimate of the house's age upward by a couple of decades. Tapping heels approached the door a moment before it swung inward on silent hinges. The woman behind the door knew how to dress to impress. She posed, knee bent, head tilted at just the correct angle to be coy without being a come-on. The 4-inch red stiletto heels spoiled the effect, but Roger didn't mind. "Yes," she said, stretching the word out so he wasn't sure if it was a question or an answer. "Hi, I'm Roger Mulligan."
"You don't sound sure of that," she said,
stepping back and ushering him into a two-story foyer.
"Come in, Mr. Mulligan. You're in the right place."
He took in the wainscoted walls, old paintings in heavy frames, and a crystal chandelier hanging a dozen feet over what had to be, honest to God, wood parquet flooring, gleaming with fresh wax.
"Thank you, ma'am."
She swung the door closed behind him with a solid thump and held out her hand.
"Naomi Patching, we spoke on the phone?"
For a moment, he wasn't sure if he should shake her hand or kiss it. He shook it and nodded.
"Nice to meet you, Miss Patching." "Always nice to put a face with a name," she said, turning to an open doorway at the foot of a long stairway. "Dealing with people online, one can never be sure."
"Nobody knows you're a dog," he said.
"Precisely."
She swept into the room where a tweedy man failed to look trendy in a pair of stacked skinny jeans and a polo shirt. He'd have been better served by shaving the comb over and losing the pencil-thin mustache. He extended the hand that wasn't holding the rocks glass.
"Thomas," he said. "Thomas Patching."
He glanced at Naomi as if he felt the need to establish that, yes, he actually was somehow connected to the vision in tasteful red wool, white linen, and red stilettos. Roger gave the twee a solid handshake and a manly nod. "Roger Mulligan." Naomi waved them all into leather chairs around a solid coffee table.
"Can I get you a drink, Mr. Mulligan?"
Roger shook his head. "I'm fine. Finished a bottle in the car and need to let it settle." She blinked at him, as if finally tracking what he was saying. He shook his head again.
"Sorry, joke.
Poor joke." He looked back and forth between them, not liking the predatory vibe similar to what he'd seen before in the field. Village elders thinking they have you where they want you and only looking for the right moment to slip out and... He choked that thought off by admiring Miss Patching's décolletage, so charmingly on display in a white silk frame with just the right hint of lace. He looked up into her eyes.
"You were saying?"
She shared a glance with Tweety Bird and then leaned forward a few degrees more.
"I'm interested in your qualifications, Mr. Mulligan."
He shifted in his seat to release a little of the pressure on his qualifications.
"What part of them, Miss Patching? I understand this position is for a caretaker?" "In a manner of speaking," she said. "You were in the military, I understand?"
Roger nodded.
3 tours in Afghanistan."
Her eyebrows rose as her gaze seemed to trace the line of his shoulders. The tip of her tongue swabbed her pouty lips.
"That must have been rough."
"Not a topic for discussion, ma'am." She nodded.
"We can appreciate a man who knows discretion. The situation here is rather delicate."
She turned her head slightly and ran a finger down the side of her neck just behind her jaw. He shifted again, glancing at the mister, who seemed more interested in his whiskey than his wife.
"Perhaps if you could be more specific?"
She bit her lips together and shrugged.
"It's my uncle, Mr. Mulligan."